Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Well, look at this, the 100th episode and the start of the third season. This year, it's going to be more of the same. Leadership tips, stories, tools, reflections, activities, hopefully a lot of things you can use in your daily leadership. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you listening and helping me by helping others. So let's get to it. I've had an amazing summer, and I really fueled my inner buffalo with time with my family, reading, friends, running, hiking, relaxing, working, serving, just having a great summer. And I want to start out with a reflection of how this whole podcast began. It began with a story about buffaloes and how strongly that resonated with me personally. I'm a pretty active guy, and I'm also obnoxiously optimistic about life and my problems. I've learned that problems can be good things and that you can charge into them with enthusiasm and optimism. Well, that all started with the idea that buffaloes charge into storms and cows, well, they try to outwalk them. And this summer, I actually saw it happen in Colorado. Well, sort of. This summer is the last summer of childhood for my daughter, Grace. I know that sounds weird, but at least that's how I defined it for her and her brother when they were much, much younger. When my kids were in second grade and kindergarten, I was having a conversation with them about the importance of valuing their summers. The time off, the ability to do whatever you wanted to do all day long. Play, swim, ride bikes, and hang out with friends. I was discussing with them the importance of recognizing how fortunate they were to live in the conditions they do, and that they needed to be grateful every day for all they have. My son Charlie asked, "Why are you so worried about us having fun in summer, Dad?" And I told them that when they go to high school, it all kind of changes, and that summers become busy with work, sports, and commitments. Well, their two little cherub faces suddenly became very sullen, and Grace said, "I never want summer to end, and I never want to grow up." Well, even years ago, I recognized how to pivot off of sadness and create optimism. I told them, "Hey, instead of worrying about when it all ends, let's look forward to something." And then I said that I would take them and two of their friends the summer between eighth grade and freshman year anywhere they wanted to camp. And they did. So 6 years later, my son Charlie took his two best friends to the Porcupine Mountains in Upper Michigan, and we camped on the shores of Lake Superior. And this summer, my daughter Grace, well, she chose to go to the Rocky Mountains with one of her best friends and her cousin. So it's in the mountains of Colorado that I learned a lot about how a buffalo dad can be perceived and how my leadership and mindset has instilled in the littlest buffaloes in my world. Being buffalo is not just a philosophy or an occasional behavior, it's a mindset and a habit. When you see a problem, obstacle, or negativity, you don't run from it, you run to it. And like all behaviors, it is learned from observing others and taking the risk yourself. I want you to think about this as summer is closing out and the season of school and work is upon us or continuing. I want you to reflect upon how you will not only be buffalo and optimistic today and every day, but more importantly, how you will create the conditions so that others learn from your energy, your modeling, and your actions. Okay, well, with that in mind, I want to set the scene for you. We went tent camping. Yep, me and three 14-year-old girls. Pit toilets, a spigot of water, no showers, just the way I like it. So after driving 16 hours from Wisconsin to Colorado, we set our tents up under peach and magenta clouds, and for the next 5 days, we slept under a bright and star-filled sky. Adventured every morning and relaxed every afternoon. Sat around a campfire and ate chocolate chip cookie s'mores and laughed at each other, and the girls made me tell them stories night after night after night. But it was during the adventures that I found myself thinking about you. Yeah, you, the listeners, and what we each face every day in our leadership. During my daily readings and reflections, and napping, which were in a hammock overlooking the mountains and a lake, I focused on three main lessons I had learned. Now remember that it is a leader's responsibility to create conditions for others to be optimistic, and that a leader is anyone who has influence over another person. So you've got a responsibility to act and behave in a certain way to ensure that others act and behave in a certain way. There were three major learnings and reminders for me on the trip. The first thing that I took away from this trip, everyone waves in a campground. Now, I'm pretty friendly, and I've always given the head nod or waved. Wherever I am, it's the Midwesterner in me. But it didn't matter in Colorado. Everyone drove past or walked past or even wandered through our campground, they waved at us and we waved back. Every trail we were on, people said hi. Every kayak that passed us, they acknowledged us. Our campsite was pretty cool because we were the only people in our loop that stayed for the entire week. Every night we had new neighbors and people around the grounds. On one night, a family driving across the country in a rented camper who were from the Netherlands. Another night, a neighbor from Denver, a neighbor from Texas, a neighbor from Vermont, Washington, California. People from places that would not normally just walk up to you and start a conversation. But camping is like your work environment. Everyone has that experience in common. It's a familiar environment, but you are all sharing the environment and you are all enjoying it. Why can't work and school be like that? A wave is a simple gesture, takes an eighth of a calorie to perform, and yet so many people fail to simply acknowledge others when they are walking by. One night, we were driving home from getting pizza, and we were driving up the gravel road to our campsite, and a 3 or 4 year old boy had just gotten out of his camper and his parents were setting up camp. And as we drove by, he had a mile wide smile and was waving at us with great energy and excitement. The girls and I all sparked, felt the lift, and mirrored the enthusiasm with a wave right back to him. It fueled us for the rest of the night. We laughed all the way to our campsite. In a campground, if you are walking to the bathroom and you come upon a stranger at dusk, you make eye contact. Why? Because you're in the middle of nowhere. And if you don't, and you don't check each other out, you're going against human natural behavior. Is this guy going to be a friend or a foe? And then what happens is one person says hello, the other person notices the t-shirt, a conversation starts up, and the next thing you know, you're eating s'mores and drinking beer with someone that you just met on your way to the restroom and will likely never see again, but you'll spend the evening with them. But when you're at work, at school, you can walk down the hallway and then you'll avert your eyes to pretend that you're thinking about something or that you're too busy to acknowledge another human being's existence. Every day we do things like that, and we do it with people we actually know. What the hey, Ray? Why do we do that? That's all I could think about one afternoon on the hammock. Leaders need to create the conditions for success, and no matter what your title is, just because someone else granted you a little authority, it doesn't absolve you from being a good, normal person. Wave. The challenge for you today is to wave, acknowledge, say hello, and act like you're always at a campground. Will some people think you're nuts? Yeah, but guess what? It will be a learned organizational behavior. Imagine a culture of leaders where everyone in the organization waved, acknowledged each other, said hello, or even smiled. Simply acknowledging each other's existence and being respectful. It seems so foreign, but yet so normal. That little guy who waved to us made us smile, made waving contagious, and reminded me that no matter who you are in the organization, you have enough time to wave. Have some fun with it and create your own style. Maybe like a hip side six shooter kind of thing. Wait, no, don't do that. I call that one. All right. Second lesson from my trip was how much of an impact you have on others and that cows actually do march away from the storm. So we were driving back from a morning adventure where we had gone rafting on the Arkansas River. A future episode, I'm sure. And as we were driving, a storm was brewing over the mountains to our west. We were driving between two different mountain ranges, and the valley was wide and sweeping. I looked about a mile down the road, and there were about 50 cows standing right up against the fence by the road, and it was as far as they could get from the storm. We drove past at 75 miles per hour, and I hit the brakes. I reversed, and my daughter said, "What are you doing?" And then she saw the cows. This led to a conversation about how the cows really do try to outrun the storm, because we saw more cows walking towards the fence and watched as the blue skies were turning dark gray with rumbles of thunder. If you go to the Smart Thinking Facebook page, you can see two videos, one of me yelling at the cows and one that was taken by my niece of the commentary going on in the car as I was yelling at the cows. Two very different perspectives. My lesson in that moment was that this buffalo thing is real. And the stories have influence. You see, most people would probably have gotten back in that car and been upset if something they were passionate about was being made fun of by those around them. But love is weird and humbling. The girls weren't so much making fun of me as they were understanding that this mindset stuff works and that never running away from your problems is an actual life strategy. It proved to me that leaders need to keep modeling, keep charging, keep going, and not let the little things stop them. Many people run into a little resistance in the social settings of school and work, and they give up because they worry more about the people around them and what they think instead of worrying about themselves and what they should do. and being true to yourself. So go onto my Facebook page, onto the Smart Thinking Facebook page, and watch the two videos from the two perspectives. I was so excited that this was actually happening, and they were so excited to see me acting like I had just discovered the fountain of youth. The third and last lesson is the most important reflection I had had. Buffaloes need other buffaloes. Man, do they. This year, no matter what, when there is turmoil, frustration, or even a general lack of energy, keep being buffalo or find others who will. Living in Wisconsin, we don't do very much at high altitudes. And as a matter of fact, the highest point in our entire state is Timms Hill, a whopping 1,900 feet off of sea level. So when we were in Colorado and camping at 9,600 feet, air was thin and feet were heavy. One of our adventures proved to be a buffalo test. We decided to do a moderate hike, which in Colorado means something very different than in the Midwest. Well, the four of us packed our backpacks with our lunches, waters, snack, me a book, and all of us our hammocks. We drove to the trailhead and prepared for what was a planned 9.5 miles in and out hike. I knew this was going to be a little difficult because we would have an elevation change of around 2,400 or 2,500 feet, and the majority of that elevation would come at the beginning of the hike. Now, if you're new to the podcast, I have a ton of energy, and when I move, I move. So sometimes I forget to look back and check on the herd. That is the third and most crucial part of this reflection. You see, sometimes when the leader or expert of the group gets moving, they leave others behind, and another buffalo needs to have the courage to slow the others down so that everyone can be successful. At the start of our hike, I had told the girls that the natives to this area view this type of hike the same way we would as if we were just walking around a park back in Wisconsin. So as we set off, a little buffalo in our group began to see that Buffalo Dad was ready for a workout and watched me as I took off. The first mile of the hike, well, that was like going up a steep staircase, and I love the burn. But the young buffaloes behind me, they didn't, and one of them took me by the reins. Grace, my daughter. She has a high emotional intelligence, and she could see and feel her friend struggling, so she would call out a break. I was getting a little nervous and thought, at this pace, it'll be Christmas before we get to the top of this mountain. But as only a daughter can, she made eye contact with me, and I felt a wave of empathy shoot through me. It was then that I remembered another very important buffalo behavior. A buffalo herd, when they are together, stay together and move as fast as the herd can move. Too often in a school or an organization, we lose patience with those that need time to rest, process, reflect, or even just simply think. Fast buffaloes like me can actually demotivate others and destroy the herd because people can't keep up, and then the predators get them. Now, the predators in an organization are the people who are being pessimistic and intentionally disengaged, or organizational saboteurs. The lesson for me in that moment was that all buffaloes, regardless of abilities, as long as they are optimistic, have great value to the herd. Grace knew her role. Protect her friends from a buffalo dad who would jog up the mountain if given the choice. It was at the third rest stop that it struck me that I may be demotivating the group by leading, and I asked my niece, who was having a tough go, to lead us. Suddenly, she felt the weight of setting the pace. She persevered through her tiredness and got us to the top. We weren't taking as many breaks, and there was a return to the laughter and constant picking on the buffalo dad. And that's when I knew, once again, that sometimes I need to slow down and get to the back of the herd. So who in your organization has the courage to give you the look, to buffalo right back at you, and remind you that your leadership may be doing both good and yet damaging the conditions for others' success? So three main lessons from my awesome week with Grace, Abby, and Nora. Wave to the world you serve, and make certain that you demonstrate that you value them. Laugh at yourself, and assess if your impact is making a difference. And lastly, slow down or speed up, and let others lead. So let's do some smart thinking. Are you humble in your leadership and taking the time to acknowledge the important role of everyone around you? Do the conditions in your organization exist so that you can laugh at yourself? And then lastly, describe how empathy can support your ability to move with and behind the herd when necessary. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast, episode 100. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this on your social media platform. Remember to follow me on Twitter or Facebook and just simply search for the Smart Thinking Podcast. And go on there and watch the two videos that I spoke about. Also, if you follow me, you'll see daily inspirational reflections that will help fuel you and your leadership. And then thank you to the Wellpennies for their wonderful music. last. A couple of weeks ago, a fellow Port Washington guy by the name of Keith Graveldinger reached out to me, and he's the host of the Win It Minute. He sat down with me and interviewed me for his platform. He asked me something that no one had ever asked me before, and that was this. How do you walk around constantly finding the optimism and lesson in everything that you experience? My answer? Well, I've had to train myself to do this. I trained my mind to look at this world and to look for good problems. I was a pretty cynical person in my early 20s, not always grateful and feeling that the world either owed me something or that it was out to get me. So, I don't care what your circumstances are, what has happened to you, where you are, or what struggles you face. I actually do care. But remember this, every moment of every day, we get to. Yep, get to. We get to be here, and we should make the most of it. Train your mind this year and every day to be more Buffalo. I learned that if I was looking for bad things, I'd find them. But then, slowly, after finding positive people, I learned that you can count your blessings, maintain optimism, and see the world for what it is, a giant opportunity to improve. So, in that spirit, I was thinking when I heard this song, Stars in the City by the country band Old Dominion, it actually got me fired up. And I remembered Keith, and I thought to myself, I'm going to end the podcast with this week. It supercharged me. It made me think of all the great people in my life, and I remembered that just like the lyrics, you can make anything positive.
We took a U-turn down on 42nd Street. Almost hit another car. Spilled my coffee on my jeans. And I said, oh, they're ruined now. She said, no, they're better now. It's just a matter of perspective. She kissed my cheek. It's the little imperfections that make them unique. I don't know how she does it, but she can see the stars in the city. She sees a diamond where the world sees dust. Finds a glitter. Greedy. I know I ain't much, but that girl sees something nobody else can see. Maybe she sees something in me. If she can see the stars in the city. The more I hang with her, the more I realize there can be beauty in the broken. If you open up your mind, she says things like, ain't this rain nice? And don't sad songs make you smile? Well, if she's crazy, I wanna be crazy too. She's the kind of girl that can break up a band. I wanna see the way that she can. See the stars in the city. She sees a diamond where the world sees dust. Finds a glitter in the greedy. Maybe she sees something in me. If she can see the stars in the city. That girl sees something nobody else can see. Maybe she sees something in me. If she can see the stars in the city. In the city. She can see the stars in the city. She sees a diamond where the